Today I will talk about the relationship between pasture biomass and pasture growth rate, because as we know, the pasture biomass that is presented in a certain area at a certain time is a consequence of how much it grows each day during this period. But if you think somehow backwards, is it possible to predict pasture growth rate by measuring the pasture that it's present, the standing pasture biomass? It's better to say that. Because if the pasture growth rate can be determined by the standing pasture biomass, then we can use this relationship to help us to answer one of the top 10 questions made by grazers, that it's when grazing should start, when animals should be removed, and more important, how much of the sward should be removed. Therefore, we hypothesize that actual grazers can use this relationship between pasture biomass and pasture growth rate as a very practical tool in order to optimize pasture response. So this figure here illustrates the application of this relationship between pasture biomass and pasture instantaneous growth rate. And here we can see that the maximum instantaneous growth rate occurs about 35 kilograms of dry matter per hectare per day, which correspond or is sustained by about 4,100 kilograms of dry matter per hectare. So if you want to optimize our pasture growth and keep it our pasture in a range of 90% of this maximum instantaneous growth rate, which is represented by this red arrow, we should keep our pasture from a range between a upper limit of 5,100 down to a lower limit of 3,300 kilograms of dry matter per hectare per day. However, to understand the impact of standing pasture biomass on pasture growth rate, we need to have a general understanding of the dynamics of pasture growth. And the curves that describe the pasture biomass accumulation over time are known as sigmoid curves. And among these many equations that are used to fit sigmoid curves, we chose for this work the Gompertz curve, Gompertz equation, which is shown here. And I will briefly describe which mean each parameter. So Y mean is the lower biomass, the lower asymptote. Y delta is the difference between the minimal biomass and the maximum biomass. A and B are parameters of the curve. They change its shape. And T is time. And Y, of course, is the predicted yield. So have those theory in mind. Our objective was to evaluate the effect of above-ground pasture biomass on pasture growth rate by fitting specifically Gompertz curves to the measured data. For this, we established different growing periods, and we used a randomized completely blocked design with 4 reps. And our pasture biomass was measured once a week using the non-destructive method, the rising plate meter. And we worked at 3 locations. And we can see that both locations in Ohio, our experimental site, were a mixed pasture, mainly fescue and Kentucky bluegrass, while in Wisconsin was meadow fescue. So the next slide is a picture illustrating what I meant by growing periods. So here in a given date during the month of June, we can see that we have 4 experimental units at different sward stages, consequently different pasture biomass and consequently different growth rates. And those dates represent the date that the plots started accumulated biomass. So first we determine the Gompertz growth curves. They were determined for each experimental unit, I mean RAP and treatment. And for this we used the Prock and Lin in SAS, which calculate to us 3 parameters of the equation, Y delta, A, and B. And didn't calculate Y mean because we decided to fix it as the lower actual measured biomass in the plots. The second step was to determine the instantaneous growth rate over time. It was simply applying 4 parameters we found in the previous step in a derivative of Gompertz equation. So here it is. The third step was to develop the relationship between pasture biomass and pasture growth rate. So we developed these curves for each day of real measurement. So here's an example. And for this, we used all the growing periods presented on that day, and we fitted the measured pasture biomass with their respective predicted instantaneous growth rate in a time-independent re-expression of the Gompertz equation. We can see the time is not in our equation. So first I will show you the results for Gompertz growth curves, followed by the results of our relationship between pasture biomass and pasture growth rate. So notice here that both locations in Ohio present very similar sigmoid curves. They were smooth sigmoid curves without a sharp phase of exponential growth, which means that the rate of growth changed gradually over time. On the other hand, in Wisconsin, we can see that our sigmoid curves were steeper with this sharp phase of exponential growth, which means that the rate of growth changed rapidly. We also can see here that the maximum sustainable yield steadily declined over time. So about our parameters from our relationship between pasture biomass and instantaneous growth rate, I will start with Columbus, showing the maximum instantaneous growth rate over time. So notice here that the values steadily increase until mid-June, reaching its maximum about 88 kilograms of dry matter per hectare per day. See also here that after July, values kept relatively constant until beginning of October. So this graph here shows the lower in green and the upper limit, biomass limit to maintain your pasture in 9% of the maximum instantaneous growth rate. So see here that the range for pasture biomass utilization were wider during months of June, July, and August. And during early spring and autumn kept relatively constant and was narrower than June, July, and August. So the values for maximum instantaneous growth rate in Wisconsin were higher during spring, with an average about 120 kilograms of dry matter per hectare per day. And in general, those values were much higher than those found in Columbus and, in Coshocton. So after spring, values just steadily declining, reaching a relatively constant values, which is about, with an average, about 20 kilograms of dry matter per hectare per day. So regarding the range for biomass, pasture biomass utilization, wider range was found in the spring, and after that, it steadily narrowed over time. And also notes here that in Wisconsin, the lower limit for biomass changed very little over time. So therefore, we conclude that the equation's parameters varied over time and among locations, and that the pasture biomass can be, or is better, is a determinant of pasture growth rate. And so this work illustrates the importance of monitoring and managing pasture biomass in order to keep your pasture at high growth rates. So with that, I welcome any questions you may have.
Fernanda, what are some of the practical implications of this work?
Okay. The idea is that you can set a range when you should start grazing, which biomass you should start grazing, and when you should stop to get the maximum growth. The You can use those raw those simple data we got here to apply in a simple model. Dr. Dave Barker, he showed he had a poster yesterday showing the difference between using this data and showing the difference between continuous and rotational grazing systems, showing that they if you respect this minimal and lower lower and upper biomass limit, you can have the same productivity in both models if you follow those parameters. Because the go ahead. Yeah, I was just want to add that because the idea is to, can I just come back? I won't come back for my first second slide, but the idea is to have that relationship for every single day of the year, so you can have different parameters for every day of the year.
So at the beginning of each accumulation period, how did you initiate that? Did you have something you cut?
Right. Yeah, we mowed them. We start with around 3.5 inches. So when we mowed all the plots, and when you started up from 3.5 inches, and the other plots that didn't start it yet, we kept them mowed.
Okay. And how much were the parameters limited by? Is 3.5 inches the lowest you would ever recommend someone graze?
No. No. It's because we needed to have a lower initial biomass. And we need to have, across all the experimental period, the same amount of biomass that we will start different growing periods. Because if you have different growing periods starting with different amount of initial biomass, I think we'll have different growing curves, because then you have different biomass, you have different growth rates.
So, but I guess I'm saying if you mowed it like a lawn of 2 inches, would you have different results in parameters that you fit to your model?
I believe so.
One more question. So how was the quality? I know you didn't present any data, but did you look at any quality parameters based on that? Like if you kept it between those certain levels, did the quality fall outside? Because it seemed like when you begin to accumulate that much dry matter, especially on your higher end, your quality starts to fall off.
Yeah, I agree with you. Quality.
So I was just curious, what did you look at any of those? Like, was the quality at that higher limit much reduced compared to what you have at your lower limit?
Yeah, we just measured the total dry matter. We didn't measure the digestible dry matter. That would be another important result to add on that.